You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the success strategies and the mindsets of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I'm really excited and honored for today's guest, Greg Rolette. He is an Emmy Award-winning producer, best-selling author, as well as he's the CEO of Ambitious Media Group. They're a media production company and TV studio created for entrepreneurs like you who want to use TV, video, and other media to grow your business and brands. Greg is also the founder of Ambitious.com, one of the top educational sites for entrepreneurs and emerging entrepreneurs, with more than 50 online courses from leading experts such as the New York Times bestselling authors, NFL combine coaches, venture capitalists, and more. His online TV show, The Ambitious Life, can be seen on Apple TV, YouTube, Facebook, and Entrepreneur.com. And when he isn't in front of the camera, you can also find Greg spending time with his high school sweetheart and their two boys, Colton and Ryder, at the baseball field. So, hey, Greg, I want to welcome you to Making Bank today.
Dude, Josh, I'm super excited to be here. Thanks, man.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, great to have you on. And just your guys' show's rocking. And in a little bit here, I would definitely want to find about how you guys kind of created the whole process and just got it to where it is today. But tell me a little bit about your background. I know you didn't start out as an entrepreneur. I think you were a rapper, right? Right?
Yeah, man. That's where we always like to start this story. Back when the white kid wanted to be a rapper, yeah. It sounded like a great idea. When I was like 16, so I always knew from a young age that if I wanted to get something out of life, it wasn't going to come from my parents. It wasn't going to come as a handout, that I was going to have to go and create it myself. And I saw all these hip hop artists that I was, you know, a big fan of. I was buying their CDs, you know, going to their shows, listening to them on the radio. They weren't entrepreneurs. That's what they are now. Like, that's what we consider them. But like, entrepreneurship wasn't like a cool word back then. But they were like these moguls. Like, you had, you know, Master P and No Limit Records. You had Jay-Z, Dame Dash, and Kareem Biggs at Rockefeller. You had Steve Rifkin at Loud. You had Dr. Dre at Aftermath. And like, I could go on and on about all these dudes. You know, so Master P is the one I usually talk about the most because no one wanted to listen to his music. No one wanted to give him studio time. No one wanted to, you know, put him on the radio. No one wanted to give him a show. And he just said, you know what? I'll just do it myself. I'll go and work and hustle and do the things that you do in, you know, the Third Ward of New Orleans. And he took the money and he went and he recorded his own album and he went to the swap meet and he sold thousands of copies out of the back of his trunk. And he made so much noise that people had to pay attention to him. And my brain clicked and I was like, well, if this dude can do it, well, so can I. And so my senior year of high school, they let me out of school at noon every day to do a senior project. And I started a record label. And of course, when you start your own record label, you sign yourself as like the first act.
Right.
Obvious. That's the obvious thing to do. So I did that. Recorded my first album. You know, we sold a couple thousand copies my senior year of high school. Spent the next 10 years touring, recording, you know, doing all kinds of stuff. Played everywhere from Madison Square Garden in New York City out to Hollywood
Boulevard.
Dude, that's
crazy.
In California.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and it is super cool. And it's all because I took control. And I knew, again, it wasn't going to be. Like, my dad he's an amazing guy, but he's an electrician, works for a union, for a school board. Like, he's never going to make more than what he's making now. Like, if we wanted an extra $100, there was no way to make it. And so I was like, well, if I want the cool shoes or the cool shirt or impress the girl or go on the date, I got to do something. And so it was the hip hop route that taught me how to go out and take that kind of stuff. So those are the roots, my man.
That's awesome. Well, you know, the funny thing is, and I can't remember the guy's name. There's these two guys that are on YouTube right now. And they can just drop some crazy cool sounds rapping. I don't know if you've seen them. If not, I'll have to get you the link. But my kids love watching it. And so I used to rap as well. I used to drop the beatbox and all that kind of stuff back
That's
in
awesome.
The day. And so I was doing that for them. And then I was showing them this. And I'm like, here's kind of like next level if you kept practicing.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's how I used to sound.
Yeah. The crazy part, like I always get like asked on shows, it's like, well, can you bust a freestyle like that right now? Well, freestyling is not like riding a bike. You can't just like pick up and do it. Like, my skills are not where they were. And B, like, looking back, like when you're in it, like you think you're the greatest thing ever, and you have to like have that confidence. Like as an entrepreneur, you have to have that confidence that my product is the best and what I'm doing is really helping make a change. But now, kind of as you look back, you're like, man, I don't think we were all that good. You know, we were good enough at the time, but man, it's kind of funny. Like I wasn't like the battle rapper that was getting 3 million YouTube views for his hot bars. You know, we made good drinking songs that made the bars a lot of money. So
we served
our place in the world.
Well, cool. So I guess kind of bringing us up to speed, you know, I guess, you know, with what you're doing now, you know, how did you make that transition from rap star mogul to a Greg entrepreneur with a media company and everything else?
Yeah, so it really happened when the band kind of broke up. I had just gotten married and my wife's parents thought, who is this degenerate that our daughter just married? Like he, you know, dropped out of school to go tour the country and now he's got no job and now he's got no band and he's got no thing. And they took me to what you and I would consider a fun Saturday now, which is going to like an event and meeting people. But when you're like 22, 23 and your wife's parents who you just married said, hey, come with us to this seminar this weekend and with your in-laws. Like it was like the worst thing ever, but it ended up changing my life because as this guy was up on stage, much like you and I see like every day, like you see like, oh my goodness, like it just unlocked my mind what was happening. And at the time it was selling like e-commerce type stores. And this is way before Amazon and eBay and stuff like that. Yeah, this is like 15 years ago. And I bought everything that they sold there. And 3 days later, I had a website called backyardhammocks.com. And I was selling hammocks online. I found this company in Canada that would drop ship them to me or would allow me to do drop shipping and all that cool stuff. And again, way before, it's so much easier now, but back then super hard. And so I started learning like, well, how do I sell this? So I learned like Yahoo pay-per-click and, you know, AdWords and all that stuff. And I started like going online and figuring out, well, how do I build my site? And I saw these like people that would sell information. They would sell like an ebook on how to do Google AdWords. And it was like $100 for a PDF. And again, 15 years ago, you know, you're like $100 for a PDF. Like, are you, you know? And so I started to see that the gold rush was actually in the guy selling the information, not in the guy buying the information. So I started discovering this information marketing world. And the first product I ever created was actually for musicians to do what we did, was to make money, to tour, to do all that kind of stuff. And I created a product and, you know, sold thousands of copies to musicians everywhere from down the street to, you know, musicians in Japan and Australia and, you know, just all over the world. And I was like, wow, this is powerful, because now I shot 4 videos, you know, that were definitely not even the quality that we're shooting right now. I shot them on a little like flip camera. If you remember those white like flip cameras way back, they had one button, record, stop. And I shot 4 videos on that. And I sold them for $47. And, you know, again, sold thousands of courses. And, you know, that was kind of the kickoff. Met Nick Nanton, a friend of ours, who was came also from the music industry, from the attorney side. He was an entertainment attorney. And he was just like, hey, man, I know we both have music backgrounds and we're doing all this cool stuff, but what if you took all that stuff that you were doing for musicians for like $47 and sold them to real people that have real businesses? Not that musicians aren't real people or have real businesses, but most of them are broke, right? They want to go buy a drink at the bar or a new guitar pedal. They don't want marketing advice. And so partnered with him and at the celebrity branding agency, and then we built ambitious.com and Ambitious Media Group on the back of that to really take the things that we wanted to do in the music industry, but now we do them for people like you, for people like me, for people that want to be on TV and write books and be part of movies and documentaries, and, you know, again, take that sizzle of the entertainment industry and bring it to entrepreneurs and professionals. And that's, you know, that's Cliff Notes the last 15 years, but it's been a heck of a ride.
No, that's really cool. Along the way, I mean, what were maybe 2 of your biggest life-changing moments or transformations that really shifted your direction or pattern?
Yeah, you know, I'll talk about one of them that got me in gear. So when I first partnered with Nick and them, like we had some built-in success because he already had a customer base and we kind of just leveraged that, which allowed me to get over some of the typical startup pitfalls. But the biggest thing that happened to me was when my wife, Jen, said, hey, we're going to have a kid. And I was like, oh, all right. I guess I'm an adult now. And so, you know, from the time that we found out that we were going to have a baby to when Colton was born, you know, tripled my income, you know, really doubled down, really got focused and said, you know what, it's not just about me anymore. And I think that was the bigger thing. Is before then it was all just about, all right, let's make money. Let's buy the nice car. Let's go on the nice vacation. And now you're like, huh, now I want to provide value to this kid who's about to come into the world. And not only did it flip the switch to provide for the family, but also it flipped the switch for me from as far as how I deal with customers, is that, you know, it's not like, yes, we sell products and services. I have to make money in order to, you know, pay the bills and keep the lights on and have the fancy cameras and stuff. But I'm going to make more money and have more impact if I do better work for my clients, just like I want to have a better life for my kids. And so that having the kid was the biggest switch, because it's no longer about me. I'm no longer selfish for the sake of let's build the Greg brand. But the bigger I can build the Greg brand, the more Josh Felbers I can help, the more Joe Smiths I can help, the more Joe Gleasons I can help, and the better I can impact my family. So for me, it was flipping from being selfish to being serving and coming from a place of service, if you will. That was the biggest switch. And at the same time, you know, like I said, tripled income, doubled down, business grew, because it wasn't coming from a selfish place anymore. It was coming from a place of service.
And no, I think that's definitely, you know, key, because when we can actually then put in that position, and we're in that position to serve and to create that value and that, you know, that put that attention on somebody else other than ourselves all the time, you know, that allows us to create that greater reach and be able to provide, I guess, that connection and those value for somebody else. So,
yeah, I mean, you and I see it all day, every day on social media. It's the entrepreneur who, you know, gets out his phone and he's doing the Facebook Live, and it's just about like, I just closed another $10,000 client, and I just did this, and I just did that, and I just did this. And at some point that bubble is going to burst. And I joke about it. I call it like, it's the new network marketing to be an entrepreneur who's like the coach who coaches coaches, who coaches coaches, who only knows how to coach coaches. And we despise network marketing. I mean, again, I don't think network marketing is an evil business model, but we despise some of the way that it's sold. And I think that the coaches coaching coaches, the guy who bought a course about webinars on a webinar, who's now doing his first webinar where he's selling a course on webinars, like, it's the new network marketing. And it's because it's very selfish. And I think that the people who are going to succeed over the next couple of years come from the place of, no, I'm doing this because I actually genuinely want to help you and like your audience. Like, I came on this podcast, you know, obviously I'm telling my story, but I'm telling it in a way where I want to help you. And I believe that the bigger and better I tell my story with lessons, with points, with actionable steps, the more I can make an impact and help people. Like, it's cool. Yes, we're talking about Greg. Greg's cool. And he, you know, I got it. But I'm doing it for a point of service, not for a point of look at me, look at me, look at me. And I think that there's a backwards thing that's happening right now where it is people just being like, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And that's not the way to build a long-term business, if you will.
Yeah, no, you're 100% correct. I mean, because you are seeing it. And like you said, you have everybody becoming a life coach or a business coach, or you can go get one for $9.97, you know, certified business coach. Or, you know, hey, you know, cool, I ran one Facebook ad, now I'm the guru, come buy my course for $19.97. It's like, I mean, I guess for me, I mean, I have a lot of opportunity where I could push out stuff. I know I'm not the expert, and so, which I probably need to put more stuff out there, but I don't, because I know, hey, there's these other people that are better, and I'd rather send people their direction. And, you know, maybe at some point, you know, I'll launch something where I got skills here, so let me go ahead and push out my knowledge and my information and everything too. So what I like to really kind of start to dive into, you know, as entrepreneurs, we got a lot of entrepreneurs that watch this and everything, they're growing their business, they're, you know, trying to create and grow their brand. What are maybe three key successes or strategies that you can say, hey, cool, you know, here's kind of step one, step two, step three that you want to go do to really start to get more brand presence out there?
Totally. So the first thing is the mindset that you are a media brand, that everyone today is a media brand. Like, if you posted about what you ate for breakfast on Facebook today, you technically created media. Was that the best media to create? I don't know. Maybe it is. Like, if you're a health coach, maybe. But like, if you are posting stuff on social media, you are creating media, and that becomes part of your brand. Because let's face it, like, you know, you and I, we're friends on Facebook. I see what you post there. And if you post something, you know, that's part of your brand. That's who you are. And so the fundamental principle everyone needs to understand is you are a media brand, and you have the opportunity to control that, because guess what? I didn't force you to post something on Facebook today. You chose to post it there. I didn't force you to shoot that Facebook Live video with McDonald's wrappers in the background. You chose to post that there. So fundamental principle number one is that you are a media brand. You need to own that. And if you own that, well, then that goes into the second thing I like to talk about, which is constancy and consistency. And I like it so much that I created these like iPhone cases for that we have out there. But constancy and consistency. So back in the olden days, you know, like I'm a big print guy. I like print newsletters. I love print newsletters. But here's the fundamental problem with them. They're great, and I think they're part of an omnipresent strategy, which I'll talk about in a second. But if you only send it once a month, and that's your only point of connection with your clients, your customers, your prospects, your marketplace, well, now you got 29 days. Dude, think about how much crap you get in one day. Now multiply that by 29. People don't remember you. And so constancy and consistency comes in. A friend of ours, John Lee Dumas, so Entrepreneurs on Fire is his show, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, he puts out a podcast. Consistency is there every single day. So, you know, he reminds you that he exists every day. When you log into your phone, you check podcast, there's a new one from John Lee Dumas. So there's the consistency. Constancy is constantly being in front of your marketplace. The reason why, you know, I know you've had him on the show, Gary Vee. The reason he wins is because he doesn't just put out like one thing. He puts out like six videos every day and like 13. Now, for many of us, that's unrealistic. It's unrealistic for me. It's unrealistic for you. But guess what? He's on every single person's mouth right now. He's on their mind. He has their attention because you can't get away from him. Constancy and consistency, you got to find the balance of what works for you. Is that, you know, once a week? I think that's, you know, if you're doing a show, whether it be a TV show, a podcast or whatever, at least once a week. Because again, if you're once a month, you get 29 days worth of other stuff to pile up. And it's not that your core market is going to listen to you every single day. Like we're lying to ourselves. We think that they're going to listen to every episode of The Ambitious Life, that they're going to watch every minute of every episode of Making Bank. Like we want them to, of course, we create great stuff, but it's unrealistic to think they're going to, but they're like, oh, Josh just put out another new video. Oh, Josh just interviewed another cool guy. Oh, it's just, it's mind share and it's attention. So constancy and consistency. Third tip kind of with that is this concept of omnipresence. And I learned that from Dan Kennedy. And he's not the first one to talk about it, but he's big on it. And if you look at the biggest celebrities in the entire world, right? So we'll use the Kardashians. So, because they're just an easy one to pick on. But
you
so
hear it all the time.
Yeah. So they have a TV show. They have multiple TV shows now that are once a week. Every week there's Keeping Up with the Kardashians and Khloe does something silly or whatever they are. But every week they're on TV. Then they're in reruns and syndication. So now 7 days a week, they're actually on TV. Then you go to the newsstand and they're on the cover of Us Weekly and People Magazine and something else. Then they're on the cover of Cosmopolitan Magazine. Then they have an iPhone app. So every time you open your iPhone, they're on your iPhone. You have their perfume, you know, in your bedroom. You're probably wearing a Kim Kardashian shirt because I think one of them has a clothing line. So
not,
you
not today.
For an actual fan. No, not today. So if you're, but if you're a fan of the Kardashians, you can't turn around in a 365 degree angle and not see something from the Kardashians. Gary Vee has done this really well. So he's got like five or six videos that go out on Facebook every day, one or two that are on YouTube. He's on Instagram. He's coming at you from every single angle from a digital perspective. And so thinking about that, you know, how can you be in as many places? So again, I like the newsletter strategy. Be in the mailbox once a month. Maybe be in the mailbox twice a month, you know, but also then be on Facebook, also then be on YouTube. And there's a repurposing strategy, right? You don't have to create 7,000 videos. Even Gary doesn't. He takes an hour-long keynote and makes 40 videos from that hour-long keynote. So, but this omnipresent strategy of being everywhere because you want the mind share of your people. So kind of the three things that I just covered, just kind of as a recap, because I know I machine gun talk really fast, is that the principle is that you are a media brand. Like you are. There's no doubt in my mind that every single person listening to this is its own media brand. Even if it's on a personal side and you're just sharing what you're doing in your daily life, you are creating media and that's part of your brand. That's what your customers see. It's what your prospects see. It's what, you know, your family, your friends see. Thing number two, constancy and consistency. Constantly be in front of your marketplace and do it consistently. And then think about the strategy of omnipresence being everywhere. And I'll stop talking now.
Cool. No, that's awesome. So question, when we were talking about the consistency and constancy and everything, and we're talking about putting out content. So like, you know, Gary Vee has, you know, six a day and stuff. Do you say, okay, do we only maybe put out one a day at a lot better quality or put out eight things of so-so, I guess, where's that line at, do you think?
So that's a great question. So I'm a little biased because we have a production studio and we do that. But at the same time, I do believe, going back to my, you know, this guy proposition who's doing that, that at some point, good stuff always rises to the top, right? So great content is always going to rise. And I think production value is showing that the more highly produced your show, the more serious people are going to take you. Like silly things, like you have an intro to your show, like you have all these flashy, cool graphics. That means this is a show. This, like, you put thought and time and effort into it. This isn't just a rant where you went on for 10, 20 minutes or something. I do believe that quality is going to win out over time, over quantity. And if you can balance the two, then you really, really win. I was just hanging out with Jake Paul. So for us older folk, we have no idea who he is. But if you're younger right now, he has the fastest growing channel on all of YouTube. And the last month, he put 1 million new subscribers onto his YouTube channel. He was the number one guy on Vine when Vine was cool. He has his own show on Disney Channel called Bizardvark. So if you're 8 to maybe 16, he's like, I don't know, the Jonathan Taylor Thomas of the generation. Like, he's like the guy who would have been on Tiger Beat or Teen Beat back in the day.
I had no idea who he was in your photo. And then I looked him up. But I'm like, dang, he's got a lot of followers.
Yeah, dude. So we were talking about this. And so he does a daily vlog. So every day he has a cameraman follow him around, does a daily vlog, similar to Daily V, if you're watching what Gary V's doing. He told me that A, production quality is the game changer that YouTube is looking for. So YouTube itself is looking for higher quality content, and they're preferring that over iPhone generated content, over, you know, quick stuff. The second thing that he told me is live video is not going to be the future for big content creators. And I thought this was really interesting because everyone's saying do Facebook Lives, do live. And so what he said is that if when you do things live, it gives people a chance to tune out because there's no beginning, middle, and end. If you do a 7-minute Facebook Live and I show up at 3.5 minutes, you didn't get the beginning. You didn't get that flow. If you're like thinking about what to say next, it gives people a reason to tune out. But when you can edit and you can make every single second count, you don't give people a reason to leave. You're always sucking them back in. You're going to another angle cut. You're going to something. And so he, you know, he was just like, dude, live video is not going to be the future because people tune out. So they might get the numbers, but people are leaving as fast as they are coming in. And this is the guy who's the number one guy on all YouTube. So I kind of, even though he's only 20, I still respect his opinion on that. And the third thing that he said is, and this goes against what everyone's advice, and I believe in this, is that long form content is going to win. And it's because the platforms prefer long form content. So his daily show is about 15 to 20 minutes long every day. The thinking is, if I'm watching Jake for the first time and I watch all 15 minutes, and I'm like, wow, this is awesome. And then I watch another 15 minute and another 15, and all of a sudden I've watched six 15 minute videos. I just spent 90 minutes on YouTube. Guess how many ads YouTube just served? Just how many, like, now YouTube is in a war with Facebook. You just stayed on YouTube for an hour and a half and you weren't on Facebook. And so they prefer the long form content, but I think it's got to have production quality. It's got to be good. All right. So now I'm going to take a step back and give a practical answer because what I just gave you was like real world production quality, got a video guy, got an editor. If you have that, you should do it. If you don't, find somebody to do that. Do what you can do at a quality level. If it means that you can only produce one great video a week, just produce one great video a week. If you can have the capacity to do five, then do five. But if you do five and only one's good, you know, it's like the musician, you know, thing. Like when, you know, I think musicians should be putting out new songs every day. But if your song sucks, don't put it out. So do what is practical to you. The other thing is video is the hotness. Everyone's talking about it. I think you should do it. We're recording this on video. But if the camera scares the living daylights out of you, don't shoot video. Like do a podcast. Like podcasting's great. If you're the best writer in the world, write a blog. You know, like blogs aren't dead. Crappy blogs are dead. Blogs where it's like, you know, five steps to success. And like step one is have beliefs. Like that's dead, right? But if you're a great writer and you have great, like reading isn't dead. Like people are buying books. You're a crappy writer, right? Videos are great. But if you're bad on camera, don't be on camera. So I think the goal is to start with what you're comfortable doing, whether that be audio, whether that be video, whether that be writing. And I think the end goal is to get good on camera. The only way to get good on camera, and you know this, is to get on camera. Like, if you look back at Making Bank
episode
one.
I know I didn't want to.
Yeah, well, Making Bank episode one to wherever you're at today, you know, you're 100 times better. You're more confident. You know how to, you know, like, you're doing it, you know, unconsciously competent, you know. And so you get better by actually doing it. So I went with a big picture, a little more practical. Hopefully that's helpful to everybody watching today.
No, that's awesome. Quick question just to circle back. You were talking about production quality and, you know, making sure it's all dialed in. What are maybe, like, I don't know if you mentioned them, three higher level production quality pieces that we want to make sure, hey, our video has this and this and this?
Yeah. So story arc, beginning, middle, end, right? So everything should have a beginning, a middle, and end, just like this interview. So this interview started out with a beginning. We kind of told my story. It's going to have a middle where I'm kind of teaching content, and it's going to have an end of, hey, Greg, if people want to learn more about you, where do they go? So there's a beginning, a middle, and an end, right? I'm assuming that's where we're going. I have no idea. But yeah, exactly. but there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And so when you're thinking about concocting it, you know, what's the beginning? What's the intro? And it could be as simple as, you know, hi, I'm Joe Smith. And in this video, I'm going to talk to you about X. That's the beginning. The middle is the meat. So now, so in order to do X, you need to do thing one, thing two, thing three, which is what you're asking me to do right now. You're like, share three steps to this, right? So that's the middle. And then the end is, hey, cool. If you love this video and you want to do one of those three things, here's how you can work with me, or here's what to do next. So beginning, middle, end. I think that's big. Second thing is, I do believe if you want to be seen, it shouldn't be just a web video. It should be a TV show. And in order to position it as a TV show, you need an intro, right? As silly as this is, like, you need, like, I always talk about Friends, like when TV show Friends came on and that music hits and it's like, I'll be there for you. like, you know that it's Friends, right? And so, when Making Bank comes on and the music hits and those graphic hits, you're like, all right, it's time to watch a show, not, you know, another video, because no, the world doesn't need any more video, like the world doesn't need any more email. But now there's a show. So beginning, middle, end, and then, you know, having the show. And the third is, every video that you do, I think, you know, there should be some tight editing. So we go on and on and on. Like, this is kind of like unedited ranting interview. But if we were going to like tighten this up into like a 5-minute video, like cut out all my ums and ahs, cut out like where I space out, cut out like tighten it up. And again, I learned this from Jake Paul when we interviewed him for our Ambitious Adventure show a couple months ago, was just like, if there is 1 second of footage that doesn't move it forward, get rid of it, because that is 1 second where someone can go, I'm bored, I'm out. Every second that you have a part of the plot that doesn't move the story forward, get it out. I mean, we're filming the Nick Nanton show right now, one-on-one with Nick Nanton. And, you know, he did his beginning, he did his middle, and he did his end. And his end was like 7 minutes long. And he was just like, you know, in order to do this, you got to do this. And in order to do this, you got to do this. And he kept like going in circles. And Nick's awesome. We love Nick.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, but we took that 7-minute piece and made it 30 seconds. And we didn't give any room or gaps for people to leave. So don't let them check out. Because if they check out, there's no shortage of stuff to watch, things to do, people to talk to. Especially when you're online, don't give them a reason to leave. So, three tips: have a beginning, middle, and end, production quality on the intro, and then third, any second that isn't progressing the video forward, get rid of it. That would be where I would focus my attention right now.
No, and that's fantastic, just from the fact that I'm always thinking, okay, cool, how can I make my show better? What can we do to amp it up? As well as you mentioned, we have and he's here today, three times a week, he follows my wife around for our skincare company and shooting a daily V called the Daily Me. Because it goes with our Healthy Me blog. And so, but it, you know, anyways, it, cool. Anyway, how can we tighten these up a little bit more and keep them flowing and keep it faster and stuff? And I don't know, I was talking to somebody and they were talking about, you know, editing. So there's edits every like 4 to 8 seconds. So you're always, and I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I don't have, so the true honest answer from me is I don't have the mathematical solution, you know, to that. I just know that when as soon as it starts to feel long to you, it's going to feel long to somebody else. So as soon as it starts to feel long, move, like get motion in. I think B-roll is underrated. So there's A-roll and B-roll. So A-roll is what me and you are doing right now. I'm on the camera, you're on the camera. B-roll would be if I was talking about driving in a car and it actually showed me driving in a car, took me off screen, and it was showing that scene. I think that B-roll is underrated, A, because it's not difficult to do, but it takes some plotting and some planning. But it really, it sets the scene, you know? So if you're talking about like skincare, things like that, and, you know, you can, as your wife is describing it, you show someone like actually like in the product, like touching it and putting it on their face and that, as you're describing it, well, now there's emotional connection, there's movement, there's something's happening. And so I think B-roll is underrated and underutilized for most folks. And it, you know, you just spent an hour shooting an interview, spend 3 minutes like getting some B-roll behind it, and it'll completely change. And again, it's the production quality. Because if no one's doing it, you know, it just raises you up so Definitely. Much more than what other people are doing.
Cool. No, that's awesome. So we have a few minutes left. I want to dive in a little bit about your Ambitious TV and kind of what all went behind the concept and all the cool stuff you guys are doing with it. So I know you're all over the place. And I think, are you guys going on TV with that or...
Yeah. So Cliff Note version, again, so going back to my music roots, no one wanted to give me a record deal. No one wanted. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm just going to do it myself. Same thing with TV. Like I'm in Orlando, Florida. It's not the hotbed of the TV industry per se, you know, it's not Hollywood. And so like, there's no TV producer who just came down and they're like, yes, Greg, you are experienced. You should be on TV. You know, like there's no magical fairy that'll come down and tell you that. But I wanted to create my own TV show. And so I met a guy, Brandon T. Adams, who did a lot of crowdfunding campaigns. He did the Freedom Journal for John Lee Dumas. He just did the Think and Grow Rich documentary, some of the largest entrepreneurial crowdfunding campaigns. And he was like, dude, I love the concept for your show. Can I help raise some money for it? Long story short, raised $53,000 on Kickstarter to shoot 5 episodes. We shot 5 episodes last year in Hollywood, California, where we had Jake Paul, we had Lewis Howes on the show, Jack Canfield on the show. You know, Carlo. Carlo was on the show, one of our film guys. He's now the star of All the Pizza. So he travels around the world to do a pizza show. Like, talk about like dream job. Like, he lives the life. And so we went out there. We went to Des Moines, Iowa. We went to La Crosse, Wisconsin. We were in St. Petersburg, Florida. We had Kevin Harrington, Caleb Maddox, just some incredible people. And then we did Winter Park, Florida. So we shot 5 episodes. We are in the shopping phase right now, where we're talking to a lot of a lot of places. The ultimate goal is, yes, get on mainstream TV, get on a CNBC, get on a Bravo, get on a BBC, get on an ABC Family. But, you know, we have some alternative distribution strategies that could be a show in and of itself. But again, like, you don't have to wait for, like, I want CNBC, right? Just that's like the blatant, transparent truth. But if I don't and they say no, cool, guess what? I have Apple TV, I have Roku, I have Facebook, I have YouTube. I could probably get more people to see it on Facebook, you know, buying Facebook ads and get the right people to see it. So we're kind of in that phase. And it was a fun, great experience. You know, I got to shoot my own TV show. I got to star in it, produce it. And it doesn't suck. There's cooler, you know, there's worse things to do in life. And then just like Making Bank, we created The Ambitious Life, which is kind of more of like, you know, we do it twice a week and they're, you know, 5 to 6 minute like webisode TV shows that we have on Apple TV, Facebook, and YouTube. People started asking like, you know, can you just do that for us? And so we've evolved that into, you know, I've learned a lesson over time that when people ask you continuously if you do something and you're like, nah, at some point you should say yes.
Right.
So recently we just started opening up our studio and now we're creating TV shows for everyone from financial advisors. We got a guy who's running for state Senate in Delaware and we're doing his TV show for his Senate campaign to, this is like a weird one, but they do like flooring and tile installation just for restaurants, correctional facilities, and like cafeterias. And he wants a TV show. So, you know, so everyone, like I said earlier, everyone is a media brand. And using a visual medium like this is just so powerful. And so that was the Cliff Note version of the evolution. And you know, TV is not going away. TV is changing, but we're always going to want a visual medium to watch it. Now that might be on Apple TV or Netflix or Roku or Hulu or whatever it is. It's changing how we're viewing it, but the visual storytelling medium is not going away. And the faster you can get up to speed and telling your story through video, I think the better your brand's going to be long term.
Awesome. No, and that's great. So, I mean, one of the big things that Greg is, you know, making a point of is make sure you're getting out there, getting in front of the camera or getting at least audio out there and pushing, you know, what you do, because you never know that what that one little bit of information that you share could totally transform or change somebody's life. And if you want help doing it, you know, Greg and his team, Nick and those guys, you know, they do an awesome, phenomenal job. You know, I was partners with them in a movie about Peter Diamandis, and we got 2 Emmy Awards for, and they've won a ton of other Emmy Awards and everything else as well. So, Greg, tell us a little bit about where we can find out about you, what you're doing, if you have anything you want to give, you know, to anybody that checks you out. So,
yeah, totally. So, ambitious.com is a great place to start. A really cool domain name, kind of goes with the theme of my life of just always having these grand ambitions. So, ambitious.com. I am at Greg Rolette on all the social medias, and then we just put together a really cool video that walks people through the 5 steps to create a client getting video, because it's mostly what we want. And they could just go to ambitious.com/5, the number 5, and I'll hook them up with that. And we'll do something cool just for your guys, for the Making Bank folk that come in. And yeah, I would love to hook them up with that, because again, people make video really hard. They see the lights, they see the video camera, they kind of freak out. And they also think it needs to be perfect. Like, you know, so I know I said earlier, like, you know, if there's a second of but that kind of can scare some people. They're like, well, it has to be every second counts. That's what Greg said. Every second counts. So while there's truth to that, there's also truth to just being you, just being uniquely yourself. And like, you attract at the rate at which you repel, and who you are is ultimately going to attract the people around you. So, you know, so we created these 5 steps to make it drop dead simple, to have that beginning, the middle, and the end, to go out and create video. Because there's people watching right now, like, you know it, like, there's tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people watching your show. You don't get 100,000 emails every time a show goes out, but there's a silent majority that you know you're helping. And that's the person that really needs to hear your message. So, and they can't hear your message if you're not putting it out there. So anyway, long-winded way, ambitious.com at Greg Rolette. And I'm happy to help any of the Making Bank folk out with anything that we can do, man.
Awesome. Well, Greg, it was an honor and really a privilege to have you on Making Bank today. And just thank you for your time for coming on today.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you having me.
I am Josh Felber. You were watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.